This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes Station, KUWS. It's Monday, June 17th, 1940. And this is Jack McKenna. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Stay tuned for the best music from our 1940 hit parade. Rapid Ray has the sports and news about a big trade. And Harriet has all the summertime activity going on, including some things about nude bathing. You two been skinny dipping, Lou?
It's not easy keeping a level of decorum around here, but you make it particularly hard for us newsmen to keep our credibility intact.
I'd think skinny dipping would help your image, Lou. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Lebo's Jewelries. Buy a pair of diamond bridal earrings starting at $17.50 and get a free wedding ring. Lebo's, where you choose it, then charge it. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, one and all. The disaster is complete. France has given up, and the new French premier, Marshal Pétain, is suing for peace. The Germans are now demanding complete capitulation before hostilities cease. We begin our world news roundup from the new French capital of Bordeaux.
Free France calling. This is Bordeaux. Your correspondent, Harrison Salisbury, speaking. New French Premier Philippe Pétain announced over French radio this afternoon that France has given up the fight against Germany. Immediately after taking office last night, following the resignation of Paul Reynaud, Marshal Pétain notified the German High Command that France would seek an honorable end to hostilities. Communicating through his old friend, Spanish nationalist leader Generalissimo Francisco Franco, he relayed the message asking for peace. The 84-year-old Pétain, known as the hero of Verdun in the World War, made a radio address hardly 2 minutes in length. He explained that he had contacted the ancient enemy of France, who is now holding Paris and has surrounded the Maginot Line. Pétain expressed sorrow for the World War veterans who sacrificed so much, but says the situation is so grave as to have only hopeless odds. Marshal Pétain accepted what he calls his tragic duty of this high office from Premier Reynaud. Mr. Reynaud had pledged to fight Germany to the bitter end, to never surrender. Meanwhile, in what may be the last French high command communique this morning, new German advances were unchecked. Even though French forces continued to fight, they were now cut in two, unable to stop this blitzkrieg warfare. People here in Bordeaux remain calm, awaiting new developments. News correspondents are leaving, as are British diplomats. It is understood that Marshal Pétain, the generals, and the right-wing cabinet are trying to save the country's national life. France has always come back. In Bordeaux, this is Harrison Salisbury. Come in, Paris. Come in, Louis Lochner.
Occupied Paris here. Louis Lochner reporting news cleared by Nazi censors. Cafes are reopening and strollers once again dot the famous sunbathed boulevards of Paris. But this city of lights and life is under a 9 o'clock curfew, even though it is still light out. Another difference in German radio soundtracks blaring the news that French troops are laying down their weapons. High-ranking Nazi officials are arriving, including Gestapo Chief Heinrich Himmler. There are frequent arrests here, often by the French police of fifth columnists suspected communists. Political refugees from Germany and Jews live in mortal terror here. Thousands fled here from Poland, Czechoslovakia, and Austria. I'm told that many are in hiding in the woods outside of Paris. It is there, outside of Paris, that things are not normal. An hour's drive revealed to this reporter the inadequate defensive barriers erected by French troops trying to stop the Nazi military machine. In some cases, they overturn trucks to try to stop the unstoppable tanks. And finally, there are the animals. Thousands of hungry, thirsting dogs are roaming the village roads outside of Paris. Some were shut in the house by their fleeing owners and barked dismally from inside. I also saw two old men digging a grave for a horse in a town square. In occupied Paris, this is Louis Lochner. Standing by at the U.S. Embassy in Paris is United Press correspondent Virgil Pinkley. Come in, Virg.
Well, thank you, Louis. The streets of Paris once again echoed the sound of the boots of French soldiers on this third day of occupation by Nazi forces. They are boots of exhausted French prisoners of war. I stood inside the high iron fence of the American embassy across from the German high command and watched a group of dejected prisoners trudge through a driving cold rain. This is a pitiful sight. Their faces are worn and dirty, their uniforms tattered. The sound of the boots of the vanquished were far different than that of the victors. Germans marched in June 14th, a day ahead of Führer Adolf Hitler's prediction. 69 years ago, Prussians entered this city after a four-month siege. They found a city rife with starvation, where people had eaten zoo animals, pets, even rats. This time, the city was stocked with fresh vegetables and beefsteak, butter, candy, and cake. Today, as the prisoners dragged along the street bent in submission, several shouted invectives at me inside this embassy. Their tone is bitter. Look at that American. He looks well fed. Why didn't you help us? When a tall 6'6" German soldier leading the group yelled, "Halt!" they all dropped in their tracks. They ate dirty bread pulled from even dirtier pockets. They devoured their ration of oranges and bananas like hungry animals. They don't seem to care anymore. People gave them cigarettes, and a little girl in a white shawl cried, "I want to see if he is here. I want to see if he is here." The German guards wouldn't let her push past them. I could see nothing ersatz about this German army. Every soldier, every piece of material is of the highest quality. These soldiers told the French people that they don't hate them. They say the British use the French to retard Germany's natural growth. It is the British they want to fight most of all. From my vantage point, I see the swastika flag flying over the Arc de Triomphe and the Eiffel Tower. To the Parisians, this is a terrible blow, but they remain unshaken in their faith in the destiny of France. The same cannot be said of their faith in the political leaders. In Paris, this is Virgil Pinkley. Come in, Berlin, calling Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. The German Wehrmacht continues to lash deep into France. The Nazi High Command reports they have surrounded the Maginot Line, breaking through in the Verdun region. Only a small escape gap on the Swiss border remains for French troops. Germany has also avenged the loss from the World War by retaking the coal, iron, and industrial-rich Alsace-Lorraine. Alsace-Lorraine was taken by France in 1918. Mechanized units reinforced by the Luftwaffe are said to be harassing retreating French troops, hoping these troops make a stand and fight. But the biggest news today, just handed me, is that Italian Premier Mussolini and Foreign Minister Count Ciano have just left Rome en route for a meeting with Adolf Hitler. Together, they will decide surrender terms for France. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling the British Isles. Come in, Webb Miller.
This is London calling your correspondent, Webb Miller, here. Great Britain, its empire, and its national life is at stake as it prepares to face Germany and Italy alone. The French surrender had been expected among quarters here. The only thing to save France would have been the United States entering the war and Britain sending in its home reserves. Those moves are not forthcoming. It is now expected that France will establish a government in exile here. The secret agreement will also send French airplanes and ships to join the British Royal Air Force and fleet. It is the second most powerful fleet in the world, second only to the British. Even so, it is unclear if the French fleet will be able to escape the Mediterranean Sea. Every official statement here emphasizes that the British will fight on alone. That would pit a nation of 47 million citizens against the combined 125 million of Germany and Italy. Webb Miller in London, calling the Soviet Union, calling Eddie Gilmore.
This is the Soviet Union, Eddie Gilmore calling from Moscow. Even as Hitler's blitzkrieg captures the attention of the world, the Red Army is on the move as well. Saturday, Soviet armies marched into Lithuania and today occupied Estonia and Latvia. These small nations consolidated Russia's holdings in the Baltic region. The demands from Soviet leader Joseph Stalin were simple. Allow passage of Russian troops unimpeded and reorganize their government so they are, quoting now, honest and conscientious to the demands of the Soviet people. Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia have a combined population equal to that of Moscow, leaving them little choice but to go along. Berlin is said to not exactly welcome the news of Russia's gulping of the Baltic nations. Observers in Stockholm tell us this could mean Stalin is nervous about Hitler's domination of Europe, and this may be the precursor of Russia entering the war. In Moscow, this is Eddie Gilman.
Throughout all of this upheaval, Finland continues to make its World War debt payment to the United States. The beleaguered Finland is just 3 months removed from its surrender to the Soviet Union after a 100-day war. Finland never missed their $159,000 payment. Last week, Congress passed a resolution relieving Finland of its obligation for 10 years until 1950. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Weddings are a special time for one and all, folks, and Lebo's Jewelry wants you to make it extra special without the extra burden. That's why we have wedding earrings starting at just $17.50 for both ears. I'll say that again, just $17.17 for a pair of diamond wedding earrings. And they'll throw in the diamond wedding ring free. Lebo's Jewelry does have higher-priced diamonds, including an earring set for just $25 and $40, with the wedding ring included. That's Lebo's Jewelry on Tower Avenue, where you choose it and charge it. Lou?
The Superior City Council is expected to vote to reopen Globe Shipyards. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson will be covering the City Council tonight. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, Lou. It's exciting to think about, and a lot of new jobs are at stake. Mayor Bryn Ospie says a group of local businessmen is interested in shipbuilding contracts and have contacts with shipping interests out east. If they're given an option for the land, they'll immediately begin preparations for shipbuilding. Globe Shipyards was busy during the World War, but closed during the 1920s. City Council decides on applications from tavern keepers tonight as well. The catch is they'll be forced to turn down three of those licenses. City Clerk McKeg says the legal limit of liquor licenses is 99 for Superior, but there are 102 applications. Also, Councilman Axel Peterson will propose that children under 18 years old be prohibited from the roller skating rink on Oaks and Belknap after 9 p.m. And Mayor Ospie's long-term plan to build a civic center in Superior will be displayed at Superior Floral Company. Hillman Estensen Engineers collaborated with City Engineer Tom Bastarash to design a large civic center, Lou.
Thanks, Mike. 1,600 students graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus last weekend. Our Capitol reporter, John Powell, has that story.
The 1,600 graduates heard UW President Clarence Dykstra warn them to turn a deaf ear to foes of democracy. Quoting President Dykstra, "No one knows how far America is to be involved in this conflagration. We are now highly involved," unquote. He went on to tell the class of 1940 that they must remain diligent with clear heads, clean minds, and devotion to our way of life. Quoting him again, "Let your armor be righteousness, and your sword the sword of peace. I am not one of those who believe that we have no concern with events on other continents. Quite the contrary. We must have a constructive foreign policy and a strong, united, and powerful America." From the 87th annual commencement at historic Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Finally, Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan says the police manual needs to be updated. He says they're operating under rules written by City Clerk W.J. Patterson and Mayor Victor Lindley in 1907. For instance, policemen of 1907 were expected to make note of all fast-driving horse buggies and horses left unhitched. Horses were not allowed to be on the sidewalk. When horse teams become tangled, blocking streets, officers must help separate the animals. The uniforms require pantaloons cut with seams to fit closely around the waist, with legs to be bound at the heels with leather.
Now, we wouldn't want a cop to show a little leg or ankle, would we? Thanks, Lou. Lou Martin, the best newsman in pantaloons. Now the forecast for this June the 17th, 1940. Cool tonight with a low around, well, 50. Partly cloudy skies and maybe even partly sunny, with a gentle wind tomorrow and a high near 70 degrees. We've got all kinds of great summertime things to talk about, folks, and some great music from our hit parade. Let's kick things off with Glenn Miller and his orchestra. This is Moonlight Serenade on the Martin and McKenna Show. Big hit from last year for Glenn Miller. That's Moonlight Serenade on station KUWS. I said we'd be talking about summertime stuff. Well, Lou Martin is in with a big event coming up Saturday in Ashland.
They'll have their second annual bicycle parade. The Ashland Safety Council and local merchants are putting on this shindig. They say that there's lots of kids already signed up. It's not just bikes, either. Youngsters will enter scooters, wagons, trikes, and baby buggies. There'll be band music along a parade route, which will start at Ellis Park, go down the main street to Ashland's municipal band shell. It should be fun. And there'll be bike races, obstacle courses, plank riding, and a fancy and slow riding contest.
Ah, that's for me, Lou. Slow riding. When you going to tell that skinny dipping story, Lou? You're waiting until Harriet gets here, aren't you? You sly dog of a newsman, you.
Whatever kind of a dog I may be, I'm not waiting for Harriet. It's just one of those things that we should be delicate about.
Delicate. Check. So, folks, stay tuned for the nude swimming news with Lou. Coming up right after we hear from Fred Astaire and his hit, Cheek to Cheek. Perfect for all of you skinny-dipping dancers out there on station KUWS.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
The fine, fun, but delicate sound of Fred Astaire and Cheek to Cheek on the Martin and McKenna Show. Well, hiya, Lou. I thought you couldn't bear to stick around, but hey, it's only the naked truth.
Okay, fine. Let's get it over with. I'm not a prude. In fact, I can add a bit of levity to this story.
Ooh.
Here's a summer fashion tip from Municipal Judge F.S. Parker. Wear swimming trunks. It seems that Officer Fred Jackson responded to several telephone calls from Billings Park about boys who were swimming, shall we say, a la naturel.
Their birthday suits.
Judge Parker fined each of the seven bare-bottom boys $5, but they pleaded with the judge, saying that their papas would end up paying the fines. So the judge relented, but with this warning, and we quote now, "The next time that you boys come in here, your fine will be doubled."
Judge Parker apparently has never been skinny-dipping.
Well, let's hope not.
That wasn't so bad, was it? And Harriet wasn't even here.
I must admit that would make me feel uncomfortable.
Don't want to say nude in front of Harriet, eh, Lou? That's Lou Martin, covering the skinny-dipping boys' beat. Here's English singing star Vera Lynn. This is for our British friends who are holding out against the Hun. This is Be Like the Kettle and Sing on the Martin and McKenna Show.
When all the skies are gray and it's a rainy day, think of the birdies in spring. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and the sing. Tell that umbrella man he's just an also-ran. Think of a kid on a swing. When you're up to your neck in the hot water, be like the kettle and the sing. You'll find that life's always got a funny side. So come over on the sunny side and wear a great big smile. It makes your life worthwhile. You'll have the world on a string when you're up to your neck in hot water. Be like the kettle and the sing. Troubles are boiling over, consult this recipe. Everybody will be in clover, happy as can be. When all the skies are gray and it's a rainy day, think of the birdies in spring. When you're up to your neck in hot water, be like the kettle and sing. Tell that umbrella man he's just an also-ran. Think of a kid on a swing. When you're up to your neck in the hot water, be like the kettle and the sing. You'll find that life's always got a funny side. So come over on the sunny side and wear a great big smile. It makes your life worthwhile. You'll have the world on a string when you're up to your neck in hot water. Be like the kettle and the sing.
Yes, sirree, sir. The cheerful music, even in the terrible times of war in Europe, by British starlet Vera Lynn on the Martin and McKenna Show. Now, Rapid Ray Paulson with the sporting news.
No skinny dipping for me, folks, thank you. Or for Jack.
Because we'd get into all sorts of trouble, Ray.
No, because you have to be skinny to skinny dip.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Hey, fans of the sporting news, we have big news from Philadelphia about Superior's Major League All-Star outfielder, Maury Arnavich. The Phils sent our man Maury to the Reds of Cincinnati in a straight-up deal for power hitter Johnny Rizzo. Arnavich will be reunited with his old manager, Jimmy Wilson, who was with the Phils when Maury broke into the bigs 4 years ago. Arnavich had a big year last year, hitting .324. But this year, I gotta say it, he's hitting a skinny-dipping .98. He says he feels great and can't wait to get back into the lineup for the National League champ Reds. Nearly all of the Cleveland Indian players were at a powwow today, deciding to take back their demand that manager Oscar Witt be canned. Hatchet-bearing ceremonies were held, and now the tribe can go back on the warpath for the American League pennant. And the Superior Blues pounded out umpteen hits and beat those bad old Dukes of Duluth last night, 14-5, hot dog. And they did it at Duluth's old athletic field. Superior finally gave pitcher Ernie Chief Youngblood the big hitting support he deserves. Tonight, they'll host the Wausau Lumberjacks at Municipal Stadium. This is Rapid Ray Paulson, reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you very much. We've got another great snappy number for you and Lou and the skinny-dipping crew. Here's Louis Armstrong and his orchestra, and When the Saints Go Marching In on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Sisters and brothers, this is Reverend Satchmo getting ready to beat out this mellow sermon for you. My text this evening is When the Saints Go Marching In. Here come Brother Hickenbottom down the aisle with his trombone. Blow it, boy.
Sir, that's old Satchmo himself, Louis Armstrong and his orchestra on station KUWS. I feel saintly, Brother Lou.
Thanks, Brother Jack. Let me introduce community editor, Sister Harriet Farig.
You've missed a good show, Sister. Lou said nude.
Louis! Did his face get all red?
My face is fine. It was a news story, that's all. Nothing unusual. I'm no prude, you know. In fact, the park department just called, and they have some new rules because we ran the story.
They want to hear Harriet say skinny-dipping instead of you?
Jack, that's gratuitous.
Yes, and indelicate. Anyway, the park department says nude.
I'd still rather hear Harriet say that.
Nude bathing will not be tolerated, even in the wildest parts of the St. Louis River.
Anytime there's skinny dipping, it's a pretty wild part of the river.
Unless you're a fish.
You know, the both of you are not helping. Going bare-bottomed in public is an offense.
Especially if you have a flat bottom.
I think big bottoms are the best.
Really? I mean, anyway, Officer Clifford Riley has been assigned to the Park Patrol beat for the summer to make sure that our parks are safe from such rough housing and the like.
Think they call him Skinny Dipping Ripley down at the police station?
I won't give any more news if that's how the two of you are going to be.
Keep your shirt on, Lou.
Oh, I do have a couple of quick notes to pass along for people to enjoy our lovely summers. Tulips arranged by two members of the Superior Garden Club in the window of Superior Water, Light, and Power Company are drawing raves. Mrs. H.J. Juno and Mrs. J.M. Kennedy show different ways tulips can be put on display. And 9 parks are open for business in Superior. Many have wonderful playgrounds. Open are Billings Park, Central, Kelly, Washington, Hammond Avenue, Gouget, Webster, and Franklin.
Thus, we come to the end of our skinny-dipping edition of the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank goodness.
Good thing he's not a prude. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, folks, the good Lord willing. And we don't get caught skinny dipping at our favorite watering hole.
You mean swimming hole.
That too. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing one and all a very good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.